Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
All right, thanks for joining us. This is episode 260. If you can't tell, I have a little bit of a cold, and I have a wedding to go to tomorrow. So this episode is going to be a short one, probably 20 minutes or so. But I did want to make sure we get an episode out to you. Because there are brothers out there who cannot afford to go to lodge meetings, and sometimes these guys are on the road, or for whatever reason, they might not be able to make a meeting and want to make sure that they get their weekly dose of Freemasonry. So this week we've got some great stuff, even though it is a shorter episode. In the news, man, it just doesn't stop coming out of Arkansas. It is really wild and crazy. It's like a Wild West show. Chris Hodapp went ahead and talked a little bit about some of the further goings-on over there, and it is just insane. So some of the things that he mentions that, you know, I was somewhat aware of, but not completely. You didn't have to be a Freemason to be a Shriner in Arkansas. What I didn't know was that you actually can't be both there. You have to pick, which is crazy. And there is, of course, the issue of Arkansas and recognition issues with Prince Hall. And because of that, it's kind of crazy. It says, I'll just read a short two paragraphs out of Chris's post. I hope he doesn't mind. Chris, if you're listening, I'll drive the traffic to your site to read the rest. But it says, ever since 2012 and the situation involving the shrine, and even before, and he's got two hyperlinks in there so you can read those articles, there have been Arkansas Masons who have looked outside of the borders for a safe haven for their membership. The ongoing shrine saga has put brothers there in a particularly terrible dilemma, forcing them to choose between the shrine or masonry, because membership in both is no longer permitted in Arkansas. So nearby Oklahoma has been quietly allowing Arkansas Masons to affiliate or completely transfer their memberships to Oklahoma lodges without actually residing there. And he says that, I understand that Missouri and Texas have been doing this as well. Well, unfortunately, the Grand Secretary of the Grand Lodge of Arkansas, Most Worshipful Brother Robert Jackson, has refused to issue many Arkansas Masons a letter of good standing for attempting to affiliate or move into some other U.S. jurisdictions, even if they are completely relocating for business, family, or military commitments. But his particular concentration has been focused on Oklahoma, and he said, what's the reason? Well, it's Prince Hall recognition. So apparently, it just says, while the policy is not officially written down or part of the Arkansas Code, the de facto stance of the Grand Lodge Secretary's office is that because Arkansas does not recognize Prince Hall affiliate Grand Lodges, and say Oklahoma does, then in the eyes of the Grand Secretary, Jackson at least, Oklahoma is therefore clandestine. And apparently, all of the 42 U.S. Grand Lodge jurisdictions, United Grand Lodge of England, and other regular recognized jurisdictions that recognize Prince Hall Grand Lodges are also clandestine. Crazy, right? So apparently here in Illinois, 60,000 Masons are all clandestine because we recognize Prince Hall, and the same goes for your state if you recognize them. Now, of course, there's a little bit more to this, and I really do urge you to go over to the Freemasons for Dummies by Christopher Hodapp, his blog, which is freemasonsfordummies.blogspot.com. Go over there, pick up his books. He's a fantastic guy. And if you want to, check out the latest episode of the Winding Stairs podcast. Juan Sepulveda talks with Brother Chris Hodapp and Brother John Ruark about membership issues and the issue of one-day classes and some numbers and things. And so it is my understanding that the really cool put-together episode that Juan just did for the Winding Stairs will have an expounded edition with the complete interviews with Chris and John coming up in the future. So check those out. Illinois Grand Lodge sessions are right around the corner, which is really exciting because we're all going down and we're going to have a great time, and there's going to be the usual amazing discussions and learning sessions and breakout sessions and all these other things. So we're really looking forward to that. So if you are an Illinois Mason and you're going to make the annual pilgrimage to the Grand Lodge, come on down, and if you see me, yeah, come say hi. I would love to catch up. Last week, I asked about your interest in a potential Masonic conference where it would be like nothing that you had ever experienced before. I think we are going to go for it, me as well as Brother Juan Sepulveda, John Ruark, and a couple of the TMR fellows. We are going to try our darndest to put something really cool together, and that's all I can say for now, but expect great things. Speaking of TMR, or the Masonic Roundtable, next week, or just in a couple days, if you're listening to this on Sunday or Monday morning, we are going to do an episode on the Masonic Roundtable about what to expect if you are a candidate. So it'll be a really good experience, a good episode to listen to, and especially for those brothers out there who are continuing to go through degrees, or perhaps you are uninitiated and you're really interested and you're using these podcasts as a primer to your membership. This is your episode, guys. I hope you enjoy. So the first thing I wanted to read for you guys this week is another section or another little piece out of a magazine's entries on secret societies. So here we go. So last week we talked a little bit about the Eleusinian mysteries. This week I'd like to read you a little bit about the Pythagorean Brotherhood. The legendary philosopher, mathematician, created a secret society based on the occult that gave rise to a powerful political force in ancient Italy. The ancient Greek philosopher Pythagoras was, by any century standards, a genius, born about 570 BCE, or before the Common Era, on the island of Samos. He gained his knowledge of mathematics and mysticism during his extensive travels to Egypt, Babylon, and India, where he studied with priests and poets. Pythagoras made important mathematical discoveries, such as a theorem that bears his name relating to the three sides of a right triangle. According to legend, he devised the tetrasites, the triangular figure that adds up to the perfect number 10, and promoted the importance of sacred geometry, in which mystical, symbolic, and religious meanings are ascribed to certain geometric shapes and proportions. The foremost philosophical doctrine he introduced to Western consciousness was the metempsychosis, essentially a reincarnation, the belief that the soul survives death and is reborn in another human or animal. Pythagoras believed in strict vegetarianism, a basic underlying tenet of all reincarnation religions. In about 532 BCE, Pythagoras established a small community of pupils in Crotona, in southern Italy. The philosopher offered his followers a grand vision of the spirit world as well as his thoughts on geometry and the relationship of mathematics to astronomy and to music. By the middle of the 5th century BCE, the Pythagorean Brotherhood had become powerful and politically dominant in the towns of southern Italy. During a period of local political turmoil, a man named Siron, whom Pythagoras had refused to admit into the Brotherhood because of his reckless behavior, organized an assault on the group's headquarters. The mob burned the Brotherhood's meeting house to the ground, killing many of the members inside. Pythagoras fled into exile and died about 495 BCE. Many believe that the ideas of the Pythagoras Brotherhood established the foundation for later traditions such as the Rosicrucians and secret societies including the Freemasons. The initiation into the Pythagorean Brotherhood. Candidates for the Pythagorean Brotherhood had to undergo an arduous process of initiation. They swore an oath on the sacred triangle tetrasites, gave their worldly possessions to the Brotherhood, and took a 5-year vow of silence. 5 years! The initiation included an unusual diet that incorporated poppy, sesame, and cucumber seeds, honey, and the skin of a sea onion. The Brotherhood placed great importance on gymnastics and exercise as a means of bringing the human body into harmony. So there you have it, a little bit about the Pythagorean Brotherhood. So now we're going to go into this week's segment of the Masonic Minute with illustrious brother Stephen L. Harrison.
Governor John L. Childs began life on May 27, 1863 in England. The middle child among his four brothers, he was said to have been an invalid as a young boy, but there is no record of what his disability may have been. After emigrating to the United States, he eventually graduated from Starkey Seminary and became principal of Greenville Academy in New York. A few years later, he moved to Crescent City, California, where he continued teaching. There, he bought the Crescent City News, became interested in politics, and was elected county clerk. He passed the bar, opened a law office, and in 1897, was elected district attorney. His successful political career culminated with his inauguration as governor of the state in 1941. But he was not elected governor of California, where he lived. And that, as Paul Harvey used to say, is the rest of the story. For years, the residents of Northern California and Southern Oregon had become increasingly unhappy with the governments in their respective states, claiming the legislatures were ignoring the local needs of the area, especially with respect to highway funding. The residents banded together, blocked off roads in the area, stopping motorists, and handing them a flyer that listed their grievances. In bold letters at the top, the flyer read, "You are now entering the state of Jefferson." By late fall, the residents were so fed up, they declared their independence from Oregon and California. Then, on December 4, 1941, they inaugurated Brother John L. Childs as the governor of Jefferson. 3 days later, December 7, 1941, the country forgot all about the state of Jefferson as it entered World War II. Governor Childs lived the rest of his life in relative obscurity and died March 24, 1953. His Masonic Lodge is unknown, but a granite square and compasses is a prominent feature on his tombstone. World War II ended Brother Childs' inauspicious 3-day reign as governor, but to this day, there remain residents of that area who claim they live in the state of Jefferson. For the Whence Came You podcast, this is Steve Harrison with the Masonic Minute.
All right, as always, a great job by Brother Stephen L. Harrison. Illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harrison, I should say. If you like that kind of thing, please check out his books on Amazon.com. And if you ever see him have a speaking engagement, I urge you to attend. It is always a great experience. He has a way of talking about history that just makes you live the moment. So always a big thanks to illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harrison for his awesome contribution of the Masonic Minute. As always, you can find many of the past editions of the Masonic Minute on YouTube. Currently, Brother Harrison is really deep writing a book right now about Missouri and Freemasonry, and it's going to be amazing when it comes out. We'll probably have him on to talk about it. And so the media production as far as videos for the segments are not available yet. He will get back on those when time permits. But I do hope you go back and check out some of the previous videos. Share them all you like. Put them on your Grand Lodge Facebook pages or wherever you'd like. They are great to share. I should also mention that this show is now coming out with its episodes on YouTube as well. So going back just probably maybe 10 episodes and going forward, the episodes will also come out on YouTube as well. And we've gotten quite a few new subscribers just from that. So thanks to those new guys listening on YouTube. Let me know how you found the show on YouTube. If you were just a cold search, shoot me an email, wcypodcast@gmail.com. We are really looking forward to our next promotion to continue funding the show. The pins were great. I don't know that I'm going to continue the pins or the current design anyway, so we may go with a t-shirt, a really cool exclusive design. We want to make sure that it stays affordable. So that said, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed. I've got a wedding to attend and a nose to blow. So I will talk to you guys all next week. And until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.